In 2000, Sports Illustrated named its 100 top athletes of the 20th century. There are names you no doubt are familiar with, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, and of course Michael Jordan, but there's also a name that stands out, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias. She's the only woman in the top 10.
Whenever anyone saw Babe, she was running, usually barefoot, and always pretty fast for a girl who couldn't have been more than 8 or 9. And the observant residents of Beaumont's South End figured Babe wasn't running to get somewhere on time. They figured she was fleeing the scene of her latest act of mischief.
That's Don Van Natta reading from his new book, Wonder Girl, The Magnificent Sporting Life of Babe Diedrichson Zaharias. In the 1920s and 30s, Babe Diedrichson proved a girl could be a phenomenal all-around athlete. After mastering basketball and track and field, she eventually turned to golf and won 3 U.S. Women's Open championships before she died of cancer when she was only 45 years old. This weekend, Babe Diedrichson would be 100 years old. Don Van Natta is here to talk about her legacy. Don, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Rachel, for having me.
So the book makes reference to Babe's sporting life. It really was a life of sports. She didn't just excel in one, right?
No, she excelled at every sport she tried to play. She was an All-American basketball player who won the AAU basketball championship. She then branched out into track and field and won 3 medals at the 1932 Los Angeles Olympic Games. She excelled at baseball, swimming, softball, tennis, bowling. And finally, after a stint on the vaudeville stage and riding a donkey around a baseball diamond, she took up golf.
When did she know that she had this kind of talent?
It was at a very young age. At around the age of 12 or 13, she became aware of the Olympics, and she declared that she was going to become the greatest athlete of all time. Now, she didn't say woman athlete. She just said greatest athlete. And she never really was concerned with those gender issues or class issues. Those were hurdles that never really occurred to her.
But this was in a time, it was the 1920s, and women, you didn't exactly declare that and then go off and join a league and try to become a professional athlete. Tell me a little bit about how women were able to play sports. They played actually for businesses that said, you come work for us and then we'll put you on a team, right?
That's right. She went, Babe left high school and went to Dallas to join Employers Casualty Insurance. And at that time, in the late 20s and early 30s, women's basketball was big business, particularly in Texas. And Babe went initially and played basketball for the Employers Casualty team. And while at Employers Casualty, she took up track and field. In fact, one day she was out on a track and field at a stadium, and she saw what she thought was a spear lying on the ground, and she said, "What's that?" And she was told it was a javelin, and she started throwing it. And then just within a year and a half, Babe was sent by Colonel McCombs, who ran Employers Casualty Insurance's team, to Chicago to compete as a one-woman track team for a spot on the Olympic team.
So let me get this straight. There's national championships that the winners of that would go on to the Olympics. Most companies who had these kinds of women's athletic teams were fielding a whole team. And this man, McCombs, just sent Babe Diedrichson?
Yes, he did. Much to the consternation of Babe's teammates, there were another dozen women that felt they should have been given the opportunity to go to Chicago and compete for a spot on the women's track and field team as well. But Colonel McCombs believed it would be a publicity bonanza for Employers Casualty, and he just felt that Babe could do it on her own, not only qualify for the Olympic team, but win the national championship against teams of 15, 18, 22 women all by herself.
And she did it.
Babe Diedrichson won 5 events within 3 hours and single-handedly won the national track championship.
It's really amazing to think about that. I mean, you do reference, though, that her teammates weren't so happy about this. Babe Diedrichson had an unbelievable ego. I mean, she had a lot of confidence in herself.
She knew at a very early age that she was good, not just better than all the little girls that she was competing against, but against all the little boys she was competing against. And she would get in the heads of her teammates. She would show up and say, you know, who's going to come in second today? Babe is here. And that overconfidence, really, she was a pain in the neck, I think intimidated many of her opponents throughout her career and really worked in her favor.
I'm talking with Don Van Natta about his book Wonder Girl, The Magnificent Sporting Life of Babe Diedrichsen Zaharias. Her confidence is so remarkable, but there is this issue that comes to the fore about her gender. And all of a sudden, people start insinuating that she's very masculine, that she might be gay, that she's involved in all these sports because she can't catch a man. Did that get under her skin?
Oh, absolutely. The press turned on her in a vicious way. It was all men writing nasty things about her. Babe was not a very attractive woman, although, as she put it, she tried to be graceful. And it really did get under her skin. It bothered her a lot, but she dug in and just kept at it.
She eventually did fall in love, got married, and had a long marriage. She started playing golf seriously, though, not until later in her career, and that ended up being the sport that she's best known for. She would go on to win 3 U.S. Opens. She told people that she was a natural at golf. Was she a natural?
No. One of the great things about Babe that I really love about her personality is her self-promotion. And she really knew how to turn on members of the press corps with almost a fairy tale story. And she had played golf back in high school in Beaumont, Texas, on the golf team.
There's a little bit in here. There's kind of a con artist in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. She definitely was a con artist. For instance, she would go out and, let's say, shoot an 80 on the golf course. She would tell the reporters that she shot a 71 or 72, and she would justify it by saying, well, they don't want to hear I shot an 80. They want to hear I shot a 71, and the press bought it.
Don Van Natta, Babe Diedrichsen should have been embraced as an American hero, but for much of her life, she was really seen as this kind of an oddball, even a freak. How has our image of her changed over time, do you think?
She's, I think, one of the great American forgotten athletic superstars. I went to Beaumont when I began research on this book 7 years ago, and there is a little museum there for Babe. It's a building that's just devoted only to Babe Diedrichsen. You can see her 2 gold medals and her silver medal, a key to Denver that was given to her after she won the women's amateur in Scotland. And I went there on a rainy day in November 2004, and I was the only visitor there that day. And I was really struck by that. This is a great story and a great icon. You know, before there was a Bo Jackson or a Michael Jordan or a Deion Sanders attempting to play 2 sports and actually not even playing the second one that well, Babe played all sports and excelled at all of them. And if she were alive today, her stardom would know no bounds, and she would have the biggest sneaker contract in history.
And probably a reality TV show.
Yes, right.
That's Don Van Natta, correspondent for The New York Times and author of Wonder Girl, The Magnificent Sporting Life of Babe Diedrichsen Zaharias. Don Van Natta, thanks very much.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate it.